But right now I'm very happy to introduce our first guest on the show tonight, and that's Jeremy Holden, Research Director with the group Media Matters for America. Jeremy, thanks so much for being here with us tonight.
It's really great to be here, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Jeremy, just first of all, tell our listeners a bit about Media Matters for America.
Well, Media Matters is a nonprofit research kind of media watchdog. We look at the way some of the big issues that are facing the country are framed in the media, and really kind of look at ways that conservative bias seeps into the media, and we try to push back on that with a factual analysis of the policies and the media narration.
Yes, and we've had members of the group on from time to time on this program. You guys do some very important work. And I wanted to invite you here to talk a bit about an investigation you've conducted, really focusing on the U.S. media's reporting on the threat, quote-unquote, of a nuclear weapon coming out of Iran, which has been the focus of a lot of U.S. foreign policy, as well as the European nations, and concern that the Iranian Republic, the Islamic Republic rather, is putting a lot of money and time into creating a weapon system. But there are some stubborn facts involved in this whole thing that you guys have dissected to really give us a picture that the U.S. media is not exactly representing in a fair way what's going on out there, which tends to sort of deliver public opinion towards a very a dangerous support for preemptive action. And I might just begin, Jeremy, by asking you to talk a little bit about our experience as a country in the run-up to the Iraq War in 2003, launched by the Bush administration on the basis of non-existent weapons of mass destruction. There are a lot of mea culpas that were stated by the U.S. media years later, after it was found out that the pretext for the war in Iraq was based on really nothing. And I wonder if you just kind of lead us through a little summary of the failures of the U.S. media during that earlier war.
Well, Scott, I think you get to the point that the mea culpas that came from the media happened when it was too late, when they were already, our neighbors, our sons, our daughters, our friends and relatives were already in harm's way in Iraq, and that was the point where the media looked back and said, and this is a quote from the New York Times, that they were not as rigorous as it should have been in promoting these claims. I think most people remember this catchphrase that the neocons and some of the other war hawks were parroting, back in 2002 and around that time, saying that we don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud. And the armchair quarterbacks came around several years later and looked back and said, well, that wasn't really a legitimate concern, and looked at how they sidelined some of the skeptics at the time, pushed them to the back pages of the newspaper, while the front page was kind of helping amplify these drumbeats of war. What we're concerned about is a lot of the rhetoric and a lot of the framing of the concern about Iran's nuclear program is following a similar pattern, and we're hopeful that the media will behave differently, but so far we have reason to be skeptical.
Yeah, just to go back to the time before the Iraq War was launched in March of 2003, I think a lot of us will remember these sensational front page stories by Judith Miller in the New York Times, the quote unquote liberal daily newspaper that was supposed to not be susceptible to pressure from the White House, the Bush administration, as they were ramping up for a war with Iraq. But yet it seems the New York Times really played an essential role in legitimizing that war based on a lot of facts that were not well researched or vetted, or it just seemed like a lot of sloppy reporting where, in the words of other folks, the New York Times became a stenographer to power and not really investigative journalists.
I think that's exactly right, Scott. And you talk about the so-called liberal media. I don't think it surprises anybody when we hear people on Fox News beating the drums of war. So that's certainly problematic, and we want that conversation to be factual. But even here with our study on the way the media is covering Iran, we're looking not at Fox News, we're looking at ABC Nightly News, CBS Evening News, NBC News, like kind of those big three broadcast networks where a lot of people still turn to get their news and hope that they get a legitimate portrayal of what's actually happening in the world. And what we're seeing is that they are failing right now in many of the same ways that the New York Times, as you mentioned, failed in the run-up to the Iraq War.
Yeah, and I shouldn't just single out the New York Times. They were certainly a large, an influential factor in the war, but most of the other major media outlets in the run-up to the Iraq War in 2003 played a very similar role, not being very skeptical. There were hosts from programs that were fired for questioning the rationale behind the Iraq War. Phil Donahue was one of them on MSNBC. There are a lot of other examples, but Jeremy, maybe you can lay out for us what the investigation was focusing on that you conducted about the big three television networks, newscasts, nightly newscasts, and what they've been doing.
Sure. Two of the things that we looked at were how they portrayed Iran's suspicions that Iran is pursuing a nuclear weapons program. Now, from the outset, it's important to point out that the consensus of the international community, like international agencies, Israeli intelligence, U.S. intelligence, is that Iran is at least 3 years away from having a really usable nuclear weapon. And that's if there was evidence that they had restarted something. The intelligence agencies tell us that there's no evidence that Iran has restarted a nuclear weapons program at any time since 2003. So that's what we know. But in the meantime, what we're seeing on the nightly news broadcast is this notion that a nuclear weapons program in Iran is imminent. And this flies in the face of what we see from the intelligence communities. That's number one. The second thing we see is this heightened focus on the president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, despite the fact that he is, and for all intents and purposes, a paper tiger. He has no real power in the country. That power resides with the supreme leader. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is a very colorful figure. He said some very outlandish and frankly outrageous things that have no role in the international community. But by focusing on him, it really creates this fear, this notion that he has power or any control. It's a complete distortion of the reality of how Iran works as a political system.
Well, flesh that out for us a little bit. Who actually does control Iran's nuclear research program?
Right, so that's the Ayatollahs, the kind of the religious leaders who have all the authority in Iran. And so instead of focusing on the true power center in the country, we're looking at this kind of cartoonish figure who says outrageous things, and that leads to this sense of kind of fear and foreboding about the status of the nuclear weapons program in Iran, which, as we said, is about at best 3 years away, probably on an even longer trajectory. You know, given that there's no evidence that they've restarted a weapons program.
One of the things that you mentioned in your report, and we'll give the web address out to our listeners in a little bit, but is that Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, has often been quoted as saying that he will bury Israel. And there's a mistranslation there that sort of works to the benefit of anybody who's preparing to have a preemptive strike on the nation of Iran, given that this bellicose statement that's been quoted over and over again in our news media scares the hell out of people and certainly scares people in Israel and their supporters.
I think that's absolutely right. And you look at this focus on Ahmadinejad, and that one comment that you touched on is constantly parroted. And again, it sends chills down any, rational human being's spine that somebody would say that. But setting aside the fact that he has no real authority in the country, we have subsequent comments by him that he doesn't think Iran needs atomic bombs. Well, we never hear those comments parroted on the news, right? It's all this Israel must be wiped off the map, but none of his subsequent claims that he doesn't think Iran needs atomic bombs. So he has no authority. He's leaving office in a year, yet he gets all the speaking time, and it's this one mistranslated comment that's constantly on the news, kind of stoking fear of what Iran wants, and not other comments that kind of completely undermine that notion that Iran is actively pursuing and is dangerously close to getting nuclear weapons.
We're speaking tonight with Jeremy Holden, Research Director with the group Media Matters for America, and we're talking about their investigation into how the big three television networks' nightly newscasts are covering what could, and we hope not, will be a lead up to a new war with Iran. Jeremy, summarize for our listeners what your investigation revealed about specific content that we get in our weekly, our nightly newscasts that that really mislead viewers about the status of Iran's nuclear program.
So one of the big things that's happened recently was the International Atomic Energy Agency came out with a new report, showing that really nothing has changed. Or, you know, Iran, if we learn that they had restarted a program, again, no evidence of that, but if we were to learn that they started again, they would be 3 years away. So what you see is Diane Sawyer on ABC News coming out and saying that we have, a long dreaded headline about Iran and nuclear weapons, that the UN report says they will and it has begun this nuclear weapons program. Well, that's not what the report actually said. So you have these inflammatory headlines being read at the top of the news, and again, that kind of fits into what we've heard over and over and over again, but the facts of what we know the actual consensus of the international community is completely contradictory to that.
And you broke this down, your report breaks this down by percentages of times, citations that are misleading. You want to break that out for us?
Yeah, we found that in about 31% of the stories, this goes back to November of 2011, in about 31% of the stories on Iran's nuclear program, the issue was portrayed as like an imminent threat, that nuclear weapons in Iran were just around the corner. And in about one in five cases, the news reports really focused on Ahmadinejad and portrayed him as the key player. And again, we have this notion of his statements about wiping Israel off the map and not any of his other statements. So, you're seeing in kind of a plurality of the cases, Ahmadinejad, an imminent weapons program, and we know that the strength of Ahmadinejad and the imminence of that weapons program are contrary to the facts as we actually know them.
Now, I imagine that you've asked, you've brought this information to the news directors at the three major television networks. What's been the response?
Well, we're trying to inform the debate going forward. I don't think the issue here is to get it's certainly not to get a correction on all of the segments that have happened so far. What we're hoping is that we get a change in behavior going forward. I think that is something that will be borne out in the coming months as this story continues to be debated and discussed on the news. It will be interesting. I think you raise an interesting question of how the coverage happens going forward, and I think we all have to tune in and see how that happens.
I'll just go to a report that I saw that I thought was quite alarming. This was a network you were not covering in this research, but there's a host on cable news network CNN, Aaron Burnett, who on February 16th. Had a guest on, Congressman Peter King of New York, and they were basically talking about how, in a similar vein as your research showed, the other networks was talking about Iran imminently getting a nuclear weapon and imminently building a long-range missile to carry such a lethal payload to the United States or other countries. And they also went on to talk about Iranian and Hezbollah sleeper cells throughout the country that would commit to attacks on U.S. cities from within. This was the kind of, fear-mongering that would, you know, concern a lot of people, hearing not only is, you know, a nuclear weapon on its way, but the missiles have been built that will carry it to your neighborhood. And then, you know, in addition to, there are these terrorist cells also in your neighborhood ready to do you and your family in. This seems specifically designed to stoke a lot of fear, and it seemed specifically designed to me to, you know, buttress the proponents of a preemptive strike by the United States or Israel.
I think that's a great point, and I think we look at some of the, you know, the war hawks, whether it's in Congress or whether it's in think tanks, that are out there beating these drums of war, and, you know, what we're concerned about is the media repeating its role from the run-up to the Iraq war and just amplifying these claims without any scrutiny. You know, again, we don't want to be here 4 years down the road with 100,000 plus, you know, American men and women on the ground in harm's way with the media looking back saying, gosh, you know, we wish we would have been a little bit more, skeptical of some of these claims. But, we'll write the reports and we'll criticize what we did all those years ago. But at that point, it's really too late to turn the ship around. I think the American people demand a media that scrutinizes those claims and has skepticism about those drums of war before it's too late.
Jeremy, we're in an election year, and there's a lot of politicking, a lot of heated rhetoric around U.S. foreign policy, a lot of accusations that President Obama is weak on defense, and the idea among many conservative politicians that the Obama administration is not protecting Israel's interests. And it seems to me that if the U.S. media aids and abets a lot of the misinformation out there about, you know, an imminent threat from Iran, that it could push the rhetoric to such a point that irresponsible actions could ensue and a lot of unforeseen consequences could be the result, including combat or a full-blown war. What are your concerns about the role the media could play in a very sensitive time in sort of the politics of the country in this year?
Well, I think you're right to put this in the context of an election year. I think the issue extends even further than that. I mean, you know, we've looked back over time and looked at the way that the kind of warmongers, those, you know, who are kind of antsy to get into Iran and kind of get bloody over there. It seems like Iran is always, in their estimation, a year away from getting the bomb, going back several, you know, many, many years. But they're always a year away. And so, you know, at some point in our lifetime, you know, Barack Obama is not going to be the president anymore. And so regardless of how you think the current administration is going to respond toward these calls to war, you know, these calls continue, and, you know, the media is required to look at these claims with skepticism, regardless of who's sitting in the Oval Office, so that the American people are informed and that they are putting the pressure where it should be put, and they're doing so with full knowledge of the facts as they actually exist.
Well, Jeremy, here's another question you may not have the answer to, but you might have a guess, and that is, what's the motivation, do you think, of our major news corporations putting a very bellicose spin on information that they, you know, with any sort of basic research, would know to be inaccurate and misleading? Why put it out there?
Well, you know, it's a great question, and I think it's one that I'm certainly not you know, I can't speak to the psychology of news anchors, but I think you do see an organized effort to stoke those fears that you've spoken to in the past few minutes. But also, there's a salacious element of war and fear. You know, there's this old adage in news: if it bleeds, it leads, and this kind of gets into that universe. You know, putting economic sanctions on, while we know that those have been effective and that we're seeing the strongest sanctions on Iran in anybody's lifetime, we know that works, but it's just not a juicy story. And so if it bleeds, it leads, and nothing bleeds more than war. And so that's the kind of thing that really, you know, drives a news cycle. And it's something that you know, reporters and the media are, you know, required to fight against.
Yeah. And, you know, on one hand, we have the rising, the escalating sanctions. We have the, I believe, the assassination of three or four Iranian nuclear scientists. We have cyber attacks on their nuclear program research laboratories, and the recent downing of a reconnaissance drone, a U.S. reconnaissance drone over Iran. And, you know, there are a lot of things adding up to a very scary scenario for people who don't want to see another war launched. And but the good news is I've been reading some coverage that the negotiations that are beginning in Istanbul in Turkey between the U.S. and the European allies and Iran, there may be some hope that some breakthrough will be made. So let's hope so, and let's hope our U.S. news media doesn't do their best to sabotage the whole thing.
I couldn't say it better myself.
Well, Jeremy, thank you for sharing this research with our listeners. And how would they find the report? How would they find the report on the net?
The report is on our website, mediamatters.org. They can search Iran. It will be one of the first reports that pops up. And for, you know, the rest of our analysis of the media narratives, come to mediamatters.org.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I'm really happy that Media Matters conducted the study here. This is the kind of thing the American people, you know, need more information about in terms of the bias and the spin that our media all too often, you know, performs on major news stories, things that are often hidden from view. And this needs to be exposed, and I'm glad you've done it. Thanks so much, Jeremy.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Jeremy Holden, Research Director with the group Media Matters for America.